I see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.
Welcome to Walking in Faith. I'm your host, Barbara Schinkel. We're heading into Holy Week, and this week we proclaim Almighty, ever-living God, who, as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross. Graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Joining us in our program today will be three men from the Encounter School of Prophetic Ministry, where we're going to be speaking with Sean Breeden, Ryan Mall, and Daniel Rodriguez, along with Father Raphael from the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. They're kicking off a three-day weekend this weekend, so you want to stay tuned and listen to that. But right now, let's start with prayer. As Jesus enters victoriously into Jerusalem to do his Father's will, we turn to the Father united with our crucified Savior and pray that the suffering and death of Jesus Christ will strengthen the Church in holiness and give her new growth. We pray for those who are to be baptized and received into the Church at the Easter Vigil, that these final days of preparation will be a time of transforming grace. We pray that civil authorities will use their power to protect the poor, oppose injustice, preserve religious freedom, and promote lasting peace. We pray that Christians everywhere will live this Holy Week with special reverence, self-giving, and devotion. We also pray that God will shelter all persecuted Christians and make their witness effective for the redemption of all. We also pray for the grace to offer our own sufferings in union with Christ, trusting that he will use them to sanctify us and others. Merciful Father, by the Holy Cross of Christ, your Son has redeemed the world. Help us to take up his cross and to be united to Jesus in his passion, with Mary, his mother, for Jesus is our Lord now and forever. Amen. We'll take a quick break and be right back with the Encounter School of Prophetic Ministry weekend, which is coming up starting tonight at Our Lady of Częstochowa. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Joining us right now is Father Raphael from the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa and three members of the Encounter School of Prophetic Ministry. This is a new school that's going to be opening up in Doylestown later this year. And right now they're here to talk about a three-day weekend that's going to be taking place starting tonight. We have Sean Breeden, Ryan Nail, and Daniel Rodriguez with us. We had you on last week, Father, and this is the week. We're here at Częstochowa, and it's going to be kicking off tonight if you're listening. Tell us a little bit about what's happening, and can people come if they just show up today to the door?
Yeah, welcome, everyone. Tonight, at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, we begin our 3 days School of Prophetic Ministry. And it's going to be a time of signs. It's going to be time of wonders. I'm already so excited. To be honest with you, I couldn't sleep last two nights because I was still thinking about that, what's going on, what's going to happening, and I'm expecting huge things which the Lord has prepared for us already. I'm just, you know, waiting to take it, to take the things from God. And I am really so excited. I am really so happy that my friends from Encounter Ministries, Sean, Ryan, and Daniel, already arrived, and they are, as I see, they are excited as much as I am. A huge, great time ahead of us.
Father, how did you get started with this? What was it that prompted you to know this and bring it to?
Wow, that's a very interesting interesting because that's funny because first time about the Encounter Ministries I've heard exactly on June 29th, 2019, from a guy from Poland whom I've met here at the shrine, and he was just talking to me that he's planning to send some people of his community, charismatic community from Kraków, Poland, to the national conference, Encounter Conference in Toledo, which took place in January 2020. And that was the very first time I've heard the name of the ministry, Encounter Ministries. Okay, let me check it out. Let me find out online what is it all about. And since then, yeah, I've decided to go to the national conference. I was there in 2020. That was a great, amazing experience for me. And I remember the third day of the conference, we were processing to the altar for the evening mass. That was Saturday evening, and I remember young couple with two or three very little kids on the stage. They were sharing their story, how they opened the campus of the Encounter School in Louisiana. That was Chantal and her husband. At some point, her husband disappeared from the stage because of the kids. Chantal was sharing her story about the school, and I was like questioning myself, wait a second, she's talking about the school, so did she build up or bought some building, or does she have a number of teachers? What's going on with the school? And I didn't find out, to be honest with you, but at some point on adoration, my experience on adoration was that Jesus was talking to me just one word, two words, Encounter Ministries, Encounter Ministries, Encounter Ministries. And it was like that for almost 1 hour. Okay, if you think so, Jesus, that something like that has to take place here, in Pennsylvania, at the shrine, I want more from you, more signs, like confirmation. And time was running, the pandemic began, and it was actually May 1st, I believe, the last day, the deadline for applying for the new campuses. I remember that the deadline was at 6 p.m. and I was in the chapel for adoration. It was 3 p.m. and Jesus was still saying, or not still, again saying, Encounter School, Encounter School. So, okay, my adoration was over. I went to my superior, asked him for permission to apply. and even till now, I am sure he has no idea what he agreed with, but he gave me the permission. It means he blessed the idea. He gave me the blessing. I applied. The application to, like, filling up the application took me like almost over 1 hour. But I was on time. I applied on time, and now I can say here we are. And in September we're gonna open like regular classes, regular school here in the shrine.
Now, you do charismatic prayers already, right? Like, how does this fit into what you already are doing, or does this extend this, or do you have to be a charismatic to feel like you can do this sort of prophetic ministry?
I think that every one of us is a charismatic because we are baptized, we receive the sacrament of confirmation, so every one of us is charismatic. And the only thing we need to do, I think, it's just to start to use the charisms. We just have to start to pray for healing. We just have to start to prophesy over people and other charisms in the same way, just to start to use it, because that's like driving a car. You know how to do it, but you have to start to do it. You know, you will not move from place A to place B like just sitting in the car with the engine turned off. You have to turn it on and you have to drive. Drive. So that's the same thing for me, just to use the charisms. And yes, that's true. I do some healing masses here, actually healing prayer mass and healing service after the mass every first Friday of the mass of the month. I do like charismatic prayer group every Tuesday, and there is a lot of opportunities to pray over people, even some other places than the shrine, to pray over people, to prophesy over them, and there is a lot of fun. There is a lot of fun. There is a lot of joy, and I can say what I mentioned a week ago already. That I see even changes in my way of hearing confessions. Very often, it's like say this, say that, ask about this, ask about that, give this kind of penance, that kind of penance, or just pray over the person in confessional, like. It happened a couple of times, even yesterday or last Sunday. So that's really fun. Yeah. There is a lot of fun. It's a great adventure with God, with the Holy Spirit. And I want more. I want more. I'm expecting more. So, and yes, I said last Tuesday night, I think that there is nothing or no one who is going to stop me from doing this. So,
if you're just joining us now, we're speaking with Father Raphael. We're at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, and tonight's going to be a very special night. If you want to join the Encounter School of Prophetic Ministry, you can come here at, 7 o'clock, Father?
Actually, at 6:30, we begin the worship session, and right after the worship, we'll begin the first teaching. So tonight at 6:30, everyone is welcome. You can still register at the door. So we have registered online like over 110 people. So that's a great number. Actually, I asked God for 300, but I am still satisfied with this a little bit over 100. So maybe God wants me to be surprised tonight. He wants to amaze me, and he'll give me like almost 200 more tonight. So who knows? He's got a miracle.
And logistically, we want to talk too. It's going to be Friday and Saturday as well.
As well.
So if you can't make it tonight, possibly dipping in for Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to do it all the day tomorrow on Friday and all the day on Saturday.
All right. Well, Sean, let's talk with you. Will you please explain to us the background and how this works? It's a 3-year program.
Yeah, so again, my name is Sean Breeden. I'm the Director of Events and Finance with Encounter Ministries. So I get to see firsthand sort of the power and the encounters that people have at our events, and it's such a privilege. But to really let you know what this weekend is going to be, you kind of have to understand what is our we have a 2-year school of ministry where people meet once a week, and we have our main headquarters, our main campus in Brighton, Michigan, and we have just seen so much fruit from it that we said we feel like God wants to open this up and to share this curriculum. To partner with people like Father Raphael to start a satellite campus to spread these teachings across the nation and the world.
Sean, how did it start in Brighton, Michigan?
That is a great question. I wish my executive director, Patrick Rice, was here, because he and Father Matthias Thalen are the co-founders of the ministry. But essentially, through seeing each other and meeting each other at various conferences, like Unbound conferences and things like that, they started to really believe that some of the things they were reading about in the New Testament and the book of Acts with some of these signs and wonders that Jesus actually wanted to equip the church to show these signs and wonders, not for the signs and wonders themselves, but to demonstrate the love of Jesus with a few more tools in our tool belt to do that, to pray for physical healing, to speak words of prophecy, words of encouragement to people, to lead them to encounter Jesus. Because really that's our heart in everything, is that people would have an encounter with the person of Jesus that would lead them to perhaps begin or to deepen that walk of faith, ultimately to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. But what we've found is the way we structure our two-year school, there's the first year is four quarters. The first is on identity, is that we don't want to do a lot of things for God, right? We want to be rooted in our identity as a son or a daughter of God first and foremost, right? And then secondly, the second quarter, we pray for just a grace to pray with others for physical healing. What did it look like in Jesus' ministry? What is our model? How can we pray for physical healing for others? What happens when healing doesn't happen, right? And how do we understand redemptive suffering and bring in that beautiful Catholic theology as well? And then quarter three is on prophetic ministry, which is hearing the voice of the Lord and then sharing that word of encouragement with our brothers and sisters. And then the fourth quarter is on praying for inner healing. So this weekend school, what it does is it takes quarter three of year one, and we take sort of the best content, the most powerful content from that quarter, which is eight classes, and we pack it in to this amazing 2.5 days where we remind people that you were actually made to hear the voice of God. He created you to hear his voice, right? He said, my sheep know me and they hear my voice. And so we just remind them of that identity through their baptism as priest, prophet, and king. They share in those identities of Christ. And to say, you know, take a step of faith, share a word of encouragement that you believe is from the Lord. And we've just seen so much power when people hear the truth from the Lord spoken through another person, and so much breakthrough in their lives through that.
And so this is going to actually kick off next September here at the National Shrine, the full actual school, which is the one night per week. You also mentioned something going on in August, or something will take place.
Yes, so I believe it's in August. The dates escape me at the moment. Second through fifth is going to be the summer intensive. And that is an amazing time, especially if you're discerning entering the school, to get an overview of all of the content. And it's also very nice if you work during the day, because it's four consecutive evenings, and each evening goes over one of the quarters: identity, physical healing, prophecy, and inner healing. So then in engaging with that content, you can say, okay, like, I feel like I want to go deeper. I want to learn more. And it's actually going to be led by the teachers you're going to be actually learning from in Doylestown. So you get a very concrete idea of what it would be like to be in the school in this four intense days.
How long did it take to come up with the curriculum and put the whole program together?
That is a fantastic question. You know, it's funny, I did home loans for 8 years, and I started in the school of ministry, and I was blown away by the content, honestly, especially the content on identity. Just this idea that I don't have to earn the love of God, right? It's grace. That even in the sacraments, we participate, we show up, right? We engage with the beautiful sacraments of the church, but we don't earn the grace, right? But it's just that beautiful understanding of it. I'd have to defer to Patrick Rice about the exact, you know, where it all came from, but I know personally I've been very blessed by it. I started full-time with Encounter about a year ago, and it's just been a wild ride ever since, even in the midst of the pandemic, seeing what God has done, even if the events are fewer and far between or smaller capacity. We've expanded our online school of ministry as well, that Jesus continues to work despite some of these obstacles.
Yeah, and Dr. Mary Healy, who many know as mm-hmm. the biblical scripture scholar and also professor, is part of this too, isn't she?
Yeah, so she is probably our most prominent consultant. So we've partnered with her, various other professors at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, as well as several professors at Franciscan University of Steubenville have reviewed the content and said, hey, you might want to highlight this or maybe change the exact wording of this, because our focus is always to be in line with scripture and tradition, to stay, you know, in the heart of the church, and to be able to partner with someone of the caliber of Dr. Mary Healy, and to know that what we're teaching is in line with the Catholic faith has been just an amazing privilege. And of course, every satellite campus we have has to have approval from a bishop. So we have all of these eyes looking at the content saying, like, okay, we feel comfortable moving forward, right? So it's been such a blessing to have so many not only theologians but bishops be able to take a look and say, all right, I believe this is from God. Let's move forward. Let's do it.
And that's a good point. Do you have any plans to bring this into seminaries for people who, as Father said, might benefit from it?
There are no current plans, although, ironically, Father Matthias Thelen, our president, used to teach at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, and I'm sure some of these teachings come through, just the personal, theology of the professors and what they tend to emphasize. As of now, we're just sort of trying to sow into what the Lord has given us. Mm-hmm. I remember an analogy I heard once about, your spiritual life, the fruitfulness of your ministry being like a small garden, and you want to sow into it. You want to plant seeds. You want to give it water and sunlight. And then if God starts to just cause it to burst with life, then he expands it. You know, you're faithful with a little, he entrusts you with much. Mm-hmm. So we don't know exactly what the future holds, but certainly any seminaries that would like to partner with us, we're more than happy to speak with you.
Yeah, and that's a great opportunity that it's coming to Philadelphia, because I'm sure Archbishop Perez would possibly consider this in the future too.
Yeah, Archbishop Perez gave us the welcoming letter last August. And the funniest thing of that was that I received the letter from Archbishop on the day of the solemnity of Our Lady of Częstochowa, of the Black Madonna, here at the shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. So that was for me like a miraculous sign that not even the Archbishop agrees with the Encounter Ministry here at the shrine, but also it's like a desire of our Mother, of Blessed Virgin Mary, to have the campus here. So as I know, even bishops are going to be students of the school in some other campuses. So maybe it's going to happen even here.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
And especially if seminarians would be allowed and would like to join our campus, our school, we'll be more than happy to have them here. Mm. And we invite them, anyone.
All right. Well, let's move on to Daniel now, and you can talk about how this is actually working in Cincinnati.
Yeah, absolutely. So the school's actually been for 2 years, so this is the second year. So right now we have 1 year one class that is on Mondays, or on Tuesdays, sorry, and then a year two classes is on Mondays. And both classes are pretty, even as far as how many people are there. Year two class is a little bit smaller than year one, and year one is amazing because it has a lot of younger people, and not that that's not good if they're not,
yeah.
But I think for me, just drawing in as many young people in Cincinnati, it's such a, a rich area for young adults who are in love with the church and in love with the faith and just really want to grow, in their relationship with Jesus. So I would say it's very ripe, right? Like the soil is very just ready for revival in Cincinnati. And so the classes, the students, even just this, we just finished quarter three, which is what we're going to be diving into this weekend. And the students, I mean, just seeing their lives transformed and just seeing them from the first time we saw them, a few months ago to now, they're completely different people, and
give us an example. What are some of the things you've seen?
I think just like the boldness of like sharing the faith, I think just like actually sharing God's love for someone else. People were not, I think a lot of people didn't know what they were getting into truly, like at first. And we even say this as we begin the quarter three of this is the quarter where you'll actually realize what you got yourself into, because you're not just like, you can pray for healing and you can, pray in the name of Jesus for some a body part to be healed, but once you're actually asking God to give you a word for somebody about their life, about their heart, about their personal, you know, things that they're going on in their life, that becomes a little more intimidating to people. But I think it's when people begin to step out in faith and just pray and allow the love of God to flow through them that it's been, you know, transformative. I think, you know, just from that, just people getting past the fears that they came into at the beginning, but also I think the personal healing that they've experienced of just that just has catapulted them into just living this out, not just as like a thing that they do at school or on Tuesday or Monday nights, but just a lifestyle. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, as Catholics, we somehow sit back and let the clergy try to do things.
Yeah.
And so what it's wonderful about this is this, what do you think, why is it special for this time that God is emboldening or empowering everyone? I mean, this obviously is an outgrowth of Vatican II, where we're all supposed to have a great personal faith and we're supposed to be leaven in the world. Mm-hmm. So how do you see it for this time?
I see it as how it was always meant to be. You know, I see it that you know, it isn't just for clergy to lay on hands and to pray for healing, and you know, it's for all of us, and not even just to share the love of God, right? That we can actually pray for somebody as lay people and ask the Lord what is hardest for that person and share that. I think there's no greater time. I've been saying this all year long to our students, and when I speak in different places, I think there's no greater time to share the love of Jesus, like in the history of time, in my opinion, right? So I think with the pandemic, with the way people's lives have transformed this year, I think people are so much more open to hearing, you know, what Jesus has to say about them or have somebody pray for them for healing than ever before. And so I think what we're diving into is like really we're on like the precipice of like what it really should have always been like, right? Like that it's, you know, living out, as we say, just that new covenant reality, that this isn't just like in the old covenant, that we are all, yeah, baptized as priests, prophets, and kings, and therefore we can actually share, you know, in that identity and share, the love of Jesus with everybody around us.
That's great. And now we're going to talk with
Ryan Maley.
Ryan. And you're going to tell us about all the various campuses that this is taking place across, I guess, the world.
Yeah, that's right. So the vision for Encounter, which I think is really unique and special, is that we're launching satellite campuses throughout the country, throughout North America, and throughout the world. So we don't want to keep this to ourselves. We believe that our curriculum that Sean referred to is best related, is best communicated, is best given in an incarnational way. That's how the Lord made us. And so we want to be present. If we were to rewind maybe a couple years ago, Encounter did a lot of events. We still do a lot of events, absolutely, and that's important. It's important to our growth. It's important to communicating the gospel message. But we want to be like St. Paul. We want to establish churches and establish communities, establish families, you know, ultimately where they can grow and begin to walk in this. And so, yeah, for success for Encounter is always long-term local transformation. It's that beautiful Catholic social justice principle of subsidiarity, you know, that like we want to communicate this to the lowest levels of governance and to entrust amazing school directors like Father Rafal and so many others with this curriculum that they can be empowered and raised up. And so I'm in the business of teaching the teachers and equipping the equippers and activating the activators. And so we are launching satellite campuses. Goodness, I think we're launching 16 new satellite campuses next fall. We have existing satellite campuses in Seattle, Louisiana, and Cincinnati. And we have 16 more launching this fall. Right now, from March 15th through May 1st, we have an open application for any prospective school directors who feel called to launch a satellite campus within their region. And we participate in really what is a mutual discernment with that school director, with that region, with that leadership team. And so if anyone is listening to this with the desire, with a call, like the call that Father Rafal responded to launch a satellite campus within their region, within their backyard, I invite you to do so. And you can find that on our website, encounterschool.org, and look at satellite campuses, and the application will be right there.
What would you say, any of you, to people who are like hesitant, I don't know that this is something that God is calling me to? Are we hesitant because we're not aware of the gifts that we're not awakening within us, that we each have something our Lord is calling us to that we are just not tapping into?
I think one of the greatest lies of the enemy is that it is like the primordial lie, which is God's really not that good. Mm-hmm. That God is somehow, some way, holding back on me, right? You know, eat of this tree, and you'll have knowledge of good and evil, right? You know, like God's holding back, and so we sometimes we buy into that lie, and we settle for something that's less than who we are and what we're made for. And I think once we get beyond that and we can identify that lie and break that lie, we begin to hear the truth that the Lord desires so much more from his church collectively, but so much more from me. Not that I would do more things, but I would be something entirely new. Sometimes like we can, buy into that lie and dismiss the more that Encounter School of Ministry is really inviting you into. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can I, Daniel, talk? Sure. I think one of the biggest things that I've seen in people when they have like a fear of the Holy Spirit and, you know, going to different places and partnering with different ministries, that's one of the biggest things that people are like, well, I don't, you know, Jesus said like, you will do greater things than me. And that intimidates people, right? Because when you're actually like allowing the Holy Spirit and that reality to like be so, to become real, you're like, oh my goodness, that means like I have, like I'm capable of doing that. And they somehow like think that we can mess that up, right? And so I think a lot of people, I think that one of the greatest tragedies, as Ryan would say, is that we have like, you know, even like the nerve to sometimes say that the Holy Spirit is the third forgotten person of the Trinity. And, you know, what I always say is, like, what if we said that about Jesus, right? That it's the person of the Holy Spirit, that, you know, if people are afraid of, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of, right? I think there's a goodness in the fear of the Lord because, the Lord is so big in the magnitude of what he wants to do in and through us. But I think a lot of people, when you look at, and we talk about this a lot in the identity quarter and throughout the curriculum, is most of the prophets of in throughout Scripture, one of the first things that they said when the Lord called them was like, oh, little old me, right? Like, I'm not worthy. Like, why would you choose me? And I think even personally that, you know, that's one of the first things that I experienced in my life when the Lord called me. It was like, you know, that's for like holy people, right? That's for like the saints, you know, St. Padre Pio, whoever, right? Like the saints that people know are walking in, a supernatural gift, right? And I think that's what people have to understand, that the Lord has called us to be those saints now.
You're listening to Walking in Faith. We're talking about the School of Prophetic Ministry. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Stay tuned. And we'll be back right after the station identification. You are listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County.
We would understand. You are the rock of salvation, the only foundation, Lord of all. You are our hope never failing, a mighty fortress is our God.
Welcome back. We're joined right now by Father Raphael, Sean Breeden, Ryan Mell, Daniel Rodriguez, here to talk about the Encounter School of Prophetic Ministry. We're going to pick up where we left off. Well, so many people are living in situations where they realize people they love have no relationship with God. And maybe it's extended family. We haven't activated the Holy Spirit in our lives to be impacting in their lives. And I think this is what you're saying the call of God is.
I think we are called for greatness, right? I think we are called to be, you know, like this is a generation of greater saints, right, than St. Padre Pio, than St. Faustina, all of the incredible saints. Like, the Lord has made that really clear that this is a new generation of saints, right, that we are going to do, I think, greater things than the saints that we read about in books. And you know, it's I think it's in my own life actually like empowering people to realize that they are that great. Mm-hmm. Like they're not like, you know, that they are capable of changing the world. And I, you know, I tell this most people that I talk to is like, you're gonna change the world. And it's when we actually start like allowing that reality to be so rooted in that reality that people think that, and yeah, that like small sphere of influence of like, I can bring the love of God, yeah, through the Holy Spirit, right? Who's the love of God is the Holy Spirit, right? And so I think I can bring that in my small sphere of influence, but I can also like dream bigger and actually allow myself to think like God has made me for greatness. And, yeah.
I think it's honestly like when it began to click with me as I began to enter into this new awakening, this life of abundance, this call it a supernatural lifestyle about 6 years ago in my life. And I said to myself, how can this be? How can this be? And for any persons maybe who are listening to this who are more academically minded, you know, the first thing I did was, okay, what does St. Thomas Aquinas say about any of this? You know, what does St. Thomas Aquinas? And looking at maybe the passage where Christ himself says, you're going to do greater works than me, you know? And the way that that's always taken is, well, maybe quantitatively, as if to say, like, well, there's 1.3 billion Catholics on the planet, and there was one Jesus, and maybe if we open up, hold open enough doors for, you know, old women who are exiting Mass and help old women like cross the street with their groceries, like, you know, maybe like add all of that up and that somehow equates to one awesome miracle that Jesus did. St. Thomas Aquinas, he says, no. He says it's a qualitative difference. It's a qualitative difference. And then I did the exercise of reading the book of Acts for the first time again, but with like a new lens. Like I had read it before, but with the new lens. And I was amazed with how the early church operated. Here's Peter and his shadow is healing people who are being laid out on the street who are infirmed and sick and dying. And I'm like, I never remember Jesus' shadow healing anyone. Like that's a qualitatively different work. You know, and going back to your original question, like this does belong to every person. And St. Thomas Aquinas would say as much. Like very simply, like, you know, he's the vine, we're the branches. You know, of course the branch is going to do what the vine does. As long as you're connected to the vine, of course the branch is going to do what the vine does. In his commentary on the Gospel of John, I'm just so excited about this. When he says, when Jesus says, like, whoever believes in me, streams of living water will pour out from within them. St. Thomas Aquinas, he says, those are the charisms. Those are the charisms. Why are they the charisms? Because they're abundant, because they're powerful, because they're diverse, and because they flow directly from the source. You know, and he talks about this stuff, and I'm reading this for the first time, and one truth became very vivid in my life, that this is for me. That this is for me, that God's gifts are for me, and that they were available to me, you know. Hence baptism and confirmation. I just needed a curriculum to be able to teach me how to walk in that which I already had. Mm. And I think that's where Encounter School of Ministry comes into play.
That's really a powerful testimony in terms of, you know, I was thinking of it more like, you know, gosh, we're his hands and his feet. There's so many people hurting in the world, you know, so many people confused, so many people not really understanding love because they've never seen it witnessed in their lives. But you're saying, too, it's more powerful just to accept the love God has for each individual person. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, I think more even... The quote that kept coming to mind as Ryan was describing that is like, the glory of God is man fully alive.
St. Irenaeus.
Yeah. And thank you. I forgot who it was. And I think all of us can attest, like, when we actually allowed the Holy Spirit and to start, when we begin to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Trinity, right? I became more alive, right? Like, I've never felt more alive than to really live out my identity as a son of God. And I think it's, again, yeah, like you were saying, in those small ways, but as we like to say, like the sphere of influence, right? So all of the students that go through the school, we teach them and equip them as disciples to demonstrate the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? So, like, what does that mean? And that means, like, every individual has their own mission. And I think that's what you run into a lot of things is a lot of people, whether they're young or old, they don't really know what their purpose is until they ask the Lord, right? Which is the most beautiful thing ever, right? Because he created us for that. And so I think, that's one of the most evident things is when we look at, we all have an individual and unique mission, and it's not until we ask the Lord, like, how can we live that out and be fully alive, and it's with a full, you know, relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, I remember this, because you're right, you know, so many people have not received an authentic witness of what love looks like. They've received the counterfeit, and we know that we love to the extent that we've been loved. We love because he first loved us, says St. John, right? And so what do we do with that? You know, well, we need like a demonstration of love. We need to bear witness to a love that's actually above us, a love that's not our own. In John Paul II's Theology of the Body, you know, he has this great line in Audience 46 where he says, Christ has called man to redemption with effectiveness. With effectiveness. In other words, like, this works. Like, when Christ redeems me and when he makes me something new, like, he pulls it off. Like, he really can it works. It's effective. It does something in the life of the people that we meet, and which means that we can transform lives, you know? We really can. And once we kind of put all that false humility aside and enter into the fullness of Christ in man, that's when things start to get really fun, as Father Paul would say.
Well, that's a great preview of what's in store on this three-day weekend upcoming here at the National Shrine for the Encounter School of Prophetic Ministry. And again, you can go online, and maybe if you're hearing this, you know, this afternoon, you may be able to register online, but you can also register in person, right, Father?
Actually, the online registration is over already. Okay. So everyone who will, you know, come to the door is still able to register and join us for the 3 days of school.
Again, it's starting at 6:30 tonight, Thursday night, and then running Friday and Saturday.
Yep, running Friday and Saturday. We start every day at 9 a.m.
Well, this is very hopeful and very encouraging to hear the testimony and what is in store for our area here with this upcoming School of Prophetic Ministry. I can understand why you were so excited and couldn't sleep, Father.
Yeah, because we are going to change the neighborhood. We're going to change the atmosphere here. So, just wait.
All right. Well, let's close with prayer. Let's see. Would you want to lead us? Anyone?
I'll start. And then maybe you guys can jump in. How's that sound? The Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we just praise you for your goodness. We thank you for every person that you have called to this school of prophetic ministry that starts tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you that that you're the shepherd and we're the sheep, and that we have just full access to you and full access to hear your voice, first for ourselves, but also for those that you invite to cross our paths. Lord, we pray for a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, we pray that we would hear your voice with great clarity. We pray for lives to be transformed, for families to be revived, and for this neighborhood, for Doylestown, Pennsylvania, to experience a new Pentecost, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you.
Jesus, I thank you because we get to... we actually get to partner with you in the mission that you have for this world, Jesus. I thank you because you want to need us. You want to choose us, for us to stand in the middle of an encounter with your love, Jesus. And I just pray that every single person that comes this weekend may just have a deep and radical encounter with your love, Lord. And I just pray that that Doylestown, that Pennsylvania and the surrounding regions can begin to just personally encounter your love through those who will continue to spend time here, who will be a part of the school here. And I just pray that the people understand that there's no fear in that there's no fear in just being a vessel, Lord. And I just pray that we can all just continue to be the vessels that you've asked us to be, to share your love everywhere we go.
Jesus, I just ask you to just part the waters for anyone that you would like to be here tonight or this weekend, that you would get rid of all the obstacles in the way, any doubts that say this isn't for me or doesn't fit with my schedule, that you would just make a way for everyone that you would like to be here with us, to be able to be present with us. And Father, would you mind giving us a blessing as well?
Yes, Lord, I want to ask you for a blessing, not only for us present here talking about the Encounter Ministry, but I want to ask you for blessing for everyone who is listening to us right now, for a blessing for everyone who is going to join us for this coming weekend, for everyone who is gonna be who is going to find more of you in their lives. So bless us, Lord, bless us for this wonderful adventure with you, adventure with the Holy Spirit. And by the power of the priesthood, I bless everyone in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Joining us right now is Father Joseph Fessio, the founder of Ignatius Press, here to talk about a new book put out on the writings of Joseph Ratzinger on love. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Barbara. Good to be here.
I just miss reading the writings of Pope Benedict, so I'm so glad that this volume is out. These are previously unpublished writings, correct?
That's correct.
Talk a little bit about the theme and why you decide to put it into a book.
Actually, we did not make a decision on this. There's a wonderful Spanish priest, I believe. He's the editor of these things. Pierluca, no, he's Italian. Pierluca Azzaro, I don't know. Anyway, he came up with the idea of going through some of the homilies, especially of Pope Benedict and Joseph Ratzinger, that have been unpublished, and arranging them by theme. And so it's a 7-book series. Each book's, you know, kind of a smallish book like this is 164 pages. But they're taking some of the little jewels, you know, that are in the great treasury of Ratzinger Benedict's writings and putting them forth thematically. So this one's on love. And it's basically homilies is given, and it's arranged by seasons, you know, Advent and then Christmas, Lent, and Easter, and then Ordinary Time. And, you know, I had the great blessing during my studies in Germany of hearing his homilies on a regular basis. And I remember saying to myself then, at the time, and this was 40 years ago or more, that I never heard him give a homily where I didn't learn something new. I mean, it was always, you know, like a wellspring of ideas and insights and beautiful spiritual reflections. And so to me, it's great going back to this little book and rereading some of the homilies that I might have heard at the time and then seeing other ones that I didn't hear.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, Father. And the greatness of this is that somebody had the ability to go back and find these homilies. These can date back from like 1970 when he was still a professor of theology, correct?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I mean, he is a doctor and father of the church. He'll be named that some centuries from hence, I believe. But it's what he writes is timeless, as they say. It's going to be valuable at any time, but it's also, he's writing as someone, a contemporary of ours, who sees the world, the same world we see, and has the same concerns, but he's lived a life of deep prayer, and he's so articulate and profound when he speaks that it really strikes home. At least to me, it does.
Yes, it is. It's not up on the level of a philosophical discourse that you're not going to be able to find some gem in any of these homilies. He talks about love, the quest of every human being on the journey toward eternity. Christianity is a movement, a journey, not a theory or some total of doctrine. It's a life, a vital impetus that carries us towards true life. And he expounds on this theme of love in so many beautiful ways.
He does. I mean, he talks about God's love for us, you know, our love for God, our love for each other, and our love for creation. In fact, he's got a wonderful homily here on the blessing of a tractor. You know, in some place in Italy, he blessed the tractors, I guess, for the harvest or something. Yeah.
Very, very common in Germany, no doubt, where he lived. I love how he talks about this is really a relationship with the Holy Trinity, and it's a journey that we're on. And we just need to somehow tap in to the fruits of that grace.
Yes, you talk about relationships, and his first major book is called Introduction to Christianity, and it's basically the lectures he gave back in 1967, I think, when he was Professor Tübingen. And it's a foundational book. It's a wonderful book. But I reread it a year or two ago, and I was struck by the fact of how much emphasis he puts on prepositions, that, you know, God is with us, and God is for us, and God is in us, and we are for others. And so it really struck me that the Trinity is basically what we call a subsisting relation. Father, Son, and Spirit are related to each other, and they're divine, they're one God. It really kind of gave new life for me, that reflecting on human being, divine being, how we all are in relation to each other and to God and to the rest of creation. So it illuminated that for me. But you're right. He does talk a lot about the importance of relation and relationship. And that's what love is all about. It's a relationship.
And weaves in there Mary's yes, and how she is a role model for us. That is constantly a theme that he points out. He also talks about Joseph's faith in this year of St. Joseph. You can find that in this book as well.
Yeah.
Maybe a controversial when God kneels down before us. So he does. He brings out this beautiful idea that, you know, giving ourselves in love is not restricting our freedom, it's finding it.
Yes, that's right. And you mentioned some of these homilies, and one good thing about this book is that they are homilies, and you can read one and reflect on it, and a couple of days later read another one. You don't have to read this book straight through, like a tome of something, you know, that's deeply theological. This is theological, all right, but it's all expressed in very practical, accessible ways. And so it's just a nice little book to have on one's bookshelf or on one's bedstand.
Right.
Or in the chapel to take with the church and to let it be to nourish one's own contemplation and reflection.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things I wanted to ask you was how many of these homilies are still out there, and how many volumes do you hope to publish?
Well, there will be seven in this series. I think this is the third that we've done. There's one on the priesthood.
And for those of us who couldn't be there at his classes, we're at the feet of the master by reading his books. He is a professor. He's a teacher. So what a great gift we have in this. And again, the book is called On Love. Joseph Ratzinger, Benedict XVI, Selected Writings, part of a series put out by Ignatius Press. Father, before we leave, could you give us a blessing?
Happy to do that, Barbara. Heavenly Father, during this wonderful season of Lent, when you pour forth your blessings on all your people so abundantly, we ask you to especially bless the Catholic Radio Apostolate, all those who work in it, all the listeners, and Benedictio Deo Benedis Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, et Sanctus Verbos, et Mani et Semper. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you, Barbara. Bye-bye. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.